The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors: Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card that generates leads. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet and Fetch Pro, the secure, high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. And Printify, the online, on-demand print shop for all your corporate merchandise. Be sure to visit our online store and get your own podcast merch. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
Yes, part of multiple chambers, part of multiple referral teams. I ended up with a facilitated referral team that I really enjoyed. They're not member ran. And about 6 or 7 months in, I actually found out that it was a licensable program.
Got it.
And that's the my business that I've been doing for 7.5 years is I facilitate referral teams for business professionals. So they have that opportunity to build their networks, find referrals, create relationships, but I take care of everything else on their behalf. So once again, there was that farming practice, that take care of my client, be what they need me to be, connector. And over 7.5 years, I've realized that I'm super good at it. I'm super good at helping people connect, learning the value of it, teaching patience, because networking is not a fast skill.
No.
And also really focusing.
Not selling. It's not prospecting. It's not trying to close deals with everybody you meet.
Exactly.
It's about building relationships and teaching, helping people to meet other people and finding out who you can meet. And, you know, that's I got that very early on. There was a friend of mine who was in the title insurance business, and he said, listen, networking is about who do you want to meet and who can you introduce me to type of a thing.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit beinhackerlaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Hi, my name is Wendy Caverly, and I am with Crusaders Networking. I am a networking coach and a networking facilitator and the creator of the four networking landscapes. And why do I say networking so many times? Because it is different than selling and marketing. And I am here to help you learn how it can help you with your long-term success. Wendy Caverly, Crusaders Networking, inspire connections.
All right. Wendy Caverly. We were talking about that. I'm mispronouncing your name, so I apologize. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're going to talk. I'm a big, like, you know, networking person. I have coached with people. I work with people that coach. Some of my guests are big on networking. My first guest actually wrote a book called Network All the Time. It was really to tell his story. But yeah, so networking is a big part of, you know, any real business, if you really want to grow your business and so forth. But it is a learned, you know, skill. So
it
I think, yeah, I look forward to us talking about it. I want to thank Lisa Menini, right, for connecting us. Mm-hmm. And she's great with all the stuff she's doing over at Accelerate, right? Accelerate Associates.
Yes.
And it's a little plug for her.
She's the one that helped me find my tagline of Inspire Connections.
There you go. She's great at that stuff.
Yes.
Well, maybe we want to go back a little bit and tell me about your background, because I know you're an entrepreneur. You've owned businesses and stuff, and then kind of the path that led you to networking. And then we'll talk about, the landscapes and tips for people and what they should know about networking, all that kind of stuff.
Yes. Well, that's actually kind of fun. I occasionally do like a little 10-minute presentation on my personal history, and I call it "How I Failed My Way to My Dream Job."
Perfect.
And I think most real entrepreneurs, that would really resonate with them, because you know the kind of person you are, and you know what you want to do with your life, but you're trying to find that thing that fits, find your passion, find the way to make it pay, and go forward. So when I was in college, I wanted to work in politics. Okay. My degree is in poli-sci, my second degree is American history, and I had every intention of somehow ending up as one of the people who work in Washington, D.C. And at the last 2 years I was in college, I was actually working for a candidate for the state representative seat here in Michigan. And it was a completely unpleasant experience. You study the practice of politics and you learn the history, and then you see the actual reality of it, and it's quite different. It was very disillusioning. And at the end of that 2-year campaign window, where I was supposed to have this job in Lansing when this candidate won, I was really glad he didn't.
It would have kind of been stuck, right? You couldn't have walked away and take the job, right?
Right. And in addition to that, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs have had this experience when you have a person who is a boss, not a leader. And he was a boss. He pretty much destroyed my ego. I really honestly felt when I graduated college, I was unemployable.
Really?
Yeah, I
but didn't it wasn't even true. He just made you feel that way.
Exactly. So I didn't even look for a job. I ended up just working for myself because nobody would hire me anyways.
In your mind.
In my mind. Yeah. Exactly.
No,
exactly.
I think your comment is really good, because I've done some talks and have people on about leadership, and there's a big difference between being a leader and what really is a dictator, somebody who dictates and tells people what to do and pushes them around. That's not leadership.
No, not at all.
Doesn't instill power in people,
It was even worse than that. It didn't matter. Don't do it that way. So do it the opposite way. Well, don't do it that way either.
Those are terrible people to work for, especially if you're young and impressionable and you're trying to get started in the world and you still haven't figured it out, right?
Yes. 21, 22 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm glad he didn't win then.
Yeah, but I am glad that he did that, because he did put me, whether I realized it or not, it put me on this motivate myself, set my own sail, make my own way path. I started out with direct sales in a multi-level marketing company.
Okay.
And that's kind of where I learned that I'm good at this. I'm not afraid to talk in front of rooms of people that I don't know.
Yeah.
I like to use humor to translate information or knowledge. And it's a great way to start building a connection with someone without even realizing it.
Right.
Networking is a skill, but it also can become an art form when you don't realize you're doing it.
Yeah. If you have the right personality for it and the right mindset. I mean, it's good that you were confident enough and had the personality and the right mindset to say, I'm not putting up with this. I'm going to do it this way. Other people would be like, distraught.
Right. Maybe desperate enough might be the better way.
Well, whatever. It pushed you in the right direction. It could have easily pushed you, and probably 7 out of 10 other people, it pushes them in the wrong direction,
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. You're right. Years
later. I'm saying that's luck. I'm saying it's your personality. It's the way you are. It's the way you look at the world, your resilience, whatever. You had it in you. So that was good. You were one of the three. So that was worked out. Or else we wouldn't be having this conversation.
We would
today.
Not be having this conversation. Years and years later, my father started a vending and coffee business, and I was unemployed at the time. So I thought, why not? And
where you would like place machines in different places and then collect from them and so forth.
Yeah,
okay.
Run the service. Yeah. Once again, there's that that networking aspect that I didn't even realize was going to be so key in my life.
Big time.
Because I'm building a relationship. I'm seeing the same people every single week, and I needed them to trust me, because I learned really quickly that if there's a problem with those, with the equipment, even just stealing a quarter, not letting the chips fall, whatever, they would get really, really angry at me, even though I did not know there was a problem.
Right.
So I worked really hard to build that expectations up front of, I cannot fix a problem I don't know about. You have to tell me. You can right. call me. You are yeah. not bothering me. That's why I'm here.
Right. People expect things to just work all the time.
Right, right, right.
And they don't. They're right. They're complicated machines. Yeah.
They're very simple, but they get boggled up really easily.
Yeah. People screw them up all the time.
People screw them up. Yes. And no, they don't take Canadian quarters. So that's always a fun thing in Michigan where, you know,
you're right up on the border there, right? So you get a lot of, that's funny. You didn't think about that. Well, Canadian quarters, not a quarter in some case. Could be more. Could be less.
It's the wrong size. So it gets stuck. Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
Yes. Did that for about 7-8 years. And the recession just killed us. It's hard. It's hard to make your living a quarter at a time.
Yeah. It's very large volume, small items, right?
Yes. Yes. So at that point, like an entrepreneur, we're not afraid to hustle and we're not afraid to work. I was working 3 part-time jobs, you know, because I got bills to pay. I got things to meet.
There's no stop, I found.
Yeah. And when you're self-employed, the government doesn't view you as unemployed.
No. Nope,
when you lose your job.
That was one of the things during COVID, right? You can never, as a self-employed person, say, hey, I don't have work. They're like, well, you got to go find some. Now people are able to get support for a while. It's actually, the funny part is it's killing. I don't know about you, by you guys. My God, it's killing the restaurant business. These people are on unemployment, which they couldn't get unemployment before unless they got fired. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to go back to work. They're like, I'm making basically what I'm making before. I don't have to worry about tips.
Yep.
I could just stay home.
Yep.
Or they have childcare issues or whatever. It's a mess.
It's happened. There is a very popular restaurant locally here that is announced they're closing this week, and
no staff.
No staff, can't stay open, can't run their hours. Yeah. And they're just reaches the point where, so you're right. Went out of business on the vending, did the multiple jobs, thought maybe I was wrong. Maybe my entrepreneurial path was not what I needed to do. So I went and got that safe desk job. Clock in, clock out, Monday through Friday, wash, rinse, repeat.
Right.
Oh my God. It destroyed my soul.
You know, for some people, they want security. They get up, they do it. But if you have entrepreneurial spirit and you're a go-getter and you're out there, I mean, it's like you want to stick a knife in your eye. I've tried it too. And unfortunately, or fortunately, maybe, just can't. Any jobs I've ever had in a company did not go well. It wasn't like I had fights with people, but like you said, it was like depressing.
Yes.
And you look at these other people, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to be this person in like 20 years, you know?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I was like, there's no one, it doesn't matter how hard I work, I'm making the same as the person next to me.
Right.
There's no obvious avenue for advancement because it's a large corporation and they have things. And I think the thing that freaked me out the most is I was sitting behind a lady who had already been there for 35 years. And I thought,
basically the same job.
I probably is not making much more than I am. And I'm like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah. Well, she's obviously not ambitious. So you got to get the hell out of there.
But wonderful woman, lovely woman. Still get Christmas cards from her. But that's not me. That's not my life.
Right.
That
for her, it was fine. Right. And we drive the economy with more people than us. Yeah. But but it's not for all of us.
It's definitely not for all of us. So
you had 3 jobs at the time, though. You had 2 other part-time jobs, or?
I quit all of those jobs and took a giant chance and moved to North Carolina with every penny in my savings and fell flat on my face.
So what were you doing? So what were the jobs first? What were the 3 jobs that you were?
I was merchandising for
like a store
for craft. So your Oreos got on the shelves because of me. You're welcome.
Okay. And how, where it is and how it looks and what, right. The whole thing, how high it is on the shelf, the whole thing. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Just to keep the price gun tucked in the back of my pants. Yes. Nice. And I worked at the front desk of an athletic club.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Like checking people in and dealing with the members and stuff. Okay. So that was an hourly job, right?
Yeah. That was a part-time hourly job. The benefit was I got a free membership to a really fancy athletic club. Right.
That helps. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes, exactly. Fittest I've ever been in my life. So that's pretty cool. So, and I still had a couple coffee clients from the vending business.
Oh, okay.
So that was still
kind of keeping some cash flow going. Okay.
Yes.
So then I got to interrupt you because you just jumped from, I sold everything, took every penny. I went to North Carolina and fell flat on my face. You left out what happened between leaving, going to North Carolina, whatever you did. So what did you do in North Carolina? What did you try to do in North Carolina?
What I tried to do, I tried to start over. It was 2010.
That was right after the whole mortgage crisis, right?
Right. And I just figured, F it. You know, North Carolina is doing a lot better than we are. Michigan.
There was a lot of people from New Jersey moving down there. Yeah.
Yes. I had a friend who was living down there and she was doing really good. And I just kind of thought that Thoreau quote, jump and the net will appear.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. I did a lot of applying. But
so you really didn't have a job before you went there.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, we do fail our way to success. I mean, that's
we do fail our way to success. And when I got there, there were no North Carolina license plates in my apartment complex. Everybody was for somewhere else.
They were all
else.
Transplants. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's funny. My daughter is with my wife at the beach today, meeting her best friend, South Jersey, who's up from North Carolina. They moved to Charlotte. His wife and him, they were able to do remote jobs. And I think they sold their house and for half the price bought a house that was twice the size.
Yes.
And she also has the wife has family down there. So it's a little bit different, but
Yes.
North Carolina.
It's very appealing. I still feel a pull. So maybe someday I'll end up back there again. But
there's certain areas of this country that are less expensive than us. And, you know, Nashville, I know, is a hot place. Austin's a hot city, although there's hurricanes, but nothing's perfect, right? Also don't know why they're like up in Michigan.
I am a gardener, so later falls, earlier springs would be appreciated, but I still like the four seasons.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I know. I like the change of seasons. Okay, so you're in North Carolina, and what are you trying to do?
Anything.
Okay.
You
applied for certain things?
Everything. Anything. Yeah. I even joined the local chamber of commerce as a job seeker so I could go to networking events.
Right, exactly.
And I couldn't even get a job as a waitress. The market
and you're competing
was
with
flooded.
All these out-of-towner transplants, right?
Exactly. The market's flooded with people who...
happens when it's a good place to go? Everybody's like, they all have the same idea.
Exactly. And I love my friend, but I realized she was living off of an inheritance. So it wasn't... It wasn't a pressure cooker. I realized
it later.
She's
a trust baby. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I think she probably ran through it. Grandma passed away. So I didn't
not
realize
that big
that
of a trust.
She
right.
had that nest.
Right. So she had a little bit more running room to.
Yes.
Yeah. Before we all have that. Right.
Yes. Where 2 months in, I'm having a panic attack because I'm running very quickly out of my savings.
Yeah.
And I still didn't have a job.
Right.
And I finally got an opportunity for a job, but the job wasn't going to start for 3 months.
3 months.
Yes, because they were building a new customer service department. And
it wasn't ready yet. Okay.
Yeah. So this is the lowest part of my life that we're talking about. I actually ended up subletting my apartment and limping my way home on my mother's good graces. She paid to get me moved back to Michigan, and I ended up in my mother's basement.
Okay. No, we've all done that. But now, is this more therapeutic to talk about it or is this stressful?
Well, actually, you know what? I think it's not a bad thing to talk about because I don't want anyone thinking that I haven't earned my stripes or that I wouldn't understand. We all go through bad
I think that's
parts
one of the
life.
Revelations of life, right? Is that a lot of people go through. We didn't all just walk out and we're all successful and doing real well. We have all had ups and downs. Things don't happen in a straight line. And I think that's comforting to a lot of people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm a real person. And how can I help you if you think that I can't understand or resonate with with whatever's happened to you. Absolutely. Right. My gosh. I mean, I've had a gazillion, I feel like, lifetimes.
Yeah. So, yes. So like many Americans, including myself, by the way, you ended up back in your parents' basement for a while. Yes. Because they didn't charge you a lot of rent.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Right. Yep. Nothing more exciting than being a woman in your mid-30s living with your mom.
I mean, that's how you feel about it. But, you know, you don't have to tell people. But yeah, that's you're true. Thinking about it every day. Right. So, OK, but it gives you motivation, right, to yes. do things to get out of there.
Yes. And okay. that was the interesting part, because when I look back, I realized, holy cow, that was 10 years ago.
Yeah. But that's a short period of time, though.
Exactly. I'm yeah. on my second home.
There you go.
I've had one business for 7.5 years. I have a second business that is receiving a great deal of traction. And all of that happened because I never gave up on myself.
Right.
I never stopped following what I needed to do for me. And I have to honestly say, this is like some advice that I would give people. As soon as I stopped trying to make other people in my life happy, my life went forward so much faster.
Right. Do it for yourself.
Yes. And it's sure. it's hard. It's hard to tell those that love you that their advice is not what you're going to do, that you're going right. to do
you appreciate
what you
it,
want to do.
But this is what you're gonna
right.
what you're gonna do. Yeah.
Right.
And it takes
yes.
a lot to also say, you know what, this isn't working now, North Carolina. I'm gonna get out of here and I'm gonna go back where I didn't want to be and yeah. you know, start over. So at that point, yeah. did you have a plan or you were still kind of like, well, I gotta figure this out?
So I didn't, but again, I had a friend up here who was working part-time at a very large insurance company and said, you know, it's not exciting, but they're hiring.
Right. And you wanted cash flow at that point.
I,
give you
yeah,
some options.
I still had, I had bills to pay, you yeah. know, I had a car payment. I had
yeah,
insurance.
You have rent,
I had
but you still had other bills. Sure.
Right. Exactly. I had credit card debt that's, yeah. you know, slowly stalking you. Right. So I, yeah, got that $10 an hour part-time job at this, this insurance company. It's a very large one. So it was at their corporate headquarters where they do all the processing and such. 6 months later, one of the, managers that I did some work for offered me that full-time position. That's the position I was talking about.
Got it.
So that would be, let's see, I started there in September of 2010, started full-time April of 2011, and I closed on my condo in December of 2011.
Oh, soon. Okay.
Yes. Yes. So once again, now that I'm much more experienced with multiple professions and the realities of them, that is shockingly fast. And I actually qualified for a mortgage.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a bank foreclosure, you know, prices were still good.
Right. That helped.
And right. Exactly. So, and then after about 2 years, I realized this wasn't going to work. I'm not going anywhere. I'm living off of $13 an hour. You know, so I left. I put in my 2 weeks notice and I switched to credit card sales. I went back to that self-motivated, under your own steam lifestyle.
That was what, like merchant processing you were selling or
yes.
got it? Yeah.
Yes.
It's a pretty good industry if you're a good person. A lot of people are getting taken advantage of.
Exactly. But, right. What I learned from that is I'm a farmer, not a hunter.
Okay.
I didn't like doing the here's your 800 number. Good luck to you.
Right.
I liked being available and taking care of my clients and giving them more than they expected from me and helping them find solutions to their problems. And that's that. So about 6 or 7 months after I started credit card processing, I actually ended up, my manager was very kind. He fired me so I could get unemployment.
But that was also, you weren't in a call center. You were out networking, talking to people, signing them up and saying, okay, and then you'd hand them off to the customer service people.
Yes. Yes.
Got
but they
it.
Still
okay.
know that they could call me if there was issues and if they were, and I still can hear, his name was Jeff, my manager in my head. That's all well and good, Wendy, but you don't get paid for that. So,
well, you know. I think you do in the long term, right? You want to build a business, but now you're networking, right? You're out there networking.
Yes, part of multiple chambers, part of multiple referral teams. I ended up with a facilitated referral team that I really enjoyed. They're not member ran. And about 6 or 7 months in, I actually found out that it was a licensable program.
Got it.
And that's the my business that I've been doing for 7.5 years is I facilitate referral teams for business professionals. So they have that opportunity to build their networks, find referrals, create relationships, but I take care of everything else on their behalf. So once again, there was that farming practice, that take care of my client, be what they need me to be, connector. And over 7.5 years, I've realized that I'm super good at it. I'm super good at helping people connect, learning the value of it, teaching patience, because networking is not a fast skill.
No.
And also really focusing.
It's not selling. It's not prospecting. It's not trying to close deals with everybody you meet.
Exactly. It's
about building relationships and teaching, helping people to meet other people and finding out who you can meet. And, you know, that's I got that very early on. There was a friend of mine who was in the title insurance business. And he said, listen, networking is about who do you want to meet and who can you introduce me to type of a thing and keep growing your network. So this organization that you're involved with now, they're kind of like affinity groups. I mean, are they, the networking groups are like, you know, there's one attorney and there's one, you know, accountant. Well, the attorneys may be multiple if they're specialized, but if there's a realtor, there's a plumber, you know, that type of a thing.
That's the business I've been doing for 7.5 years. That one person per profession. You are the voice of your industry.
The franchise arrangement.
It's a licensing.
It's a license. So it's similar. You and I talked about that. Yeah. So and it's a competitor to like BNI, LATIP, those types of organizations.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, good.
So that's what I did for 7.5 years, and you learned early on. A lot of salespeople don't learn that lesson. They just learn, how do I establish a relationship with somebody long enough to get them to sign on the bottom line?
Right.
And
because it's a numbers game. They're just looking to sell, close, sell, close, sell, close.
Right. Right. But they're missing a lot by doing that.
It's also not a very fulfilling career, you know?
Right. Right. So, because like you said, that networking is not, it's about who do you know that I need to know and who do I know that you can help?
Right.
And so that's very much, that's a learned skill.
Sure. I think if you help enough people and you connect enough people, they connect you and vice versa, and your networks grow. And they, over time, like you said, it's a long haul, but over time, there's so many people you're connected with that people are reaching out to you and you're thinking of them all the time.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. That's exactly it. That's the farming landscape that I talk about. And last year I went into overdrive with the lockdowns. I have people to take care of. I need to keep them motivated. I need to keep them focused.
Yeah.
I need to keep them planning on what are they going to do when the lights come back on.
Right.
And my number one goal
staying
was
connected, making sure you didn't think you died during COVID. I was the same way personally. I was like, I got to go to every networking online event I could find.
Yes.
And I know what was existed at the time. And you just start connecting with people all over the place.
I know. I love that. I've actually loved the digital world that's been opened.
I mean, I've made connections with I didn't want, you know, 500,000 people to die, but I have connected with people literally around the globe, Singapore, Australia. I have a group in London at 1 o'clock today.
Yes.
They're all over the place. And, you know, it's great. It's really great.
I actually did a success summit in France in May. Somebody I never would have met if I hadn't
virtually
jumped into the digital world. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If I hadn't embraced it.
Right.
And I started making videos because somebody suggested that people need to see you more. You need to put yourself out there.
You build your personal brand. There's no question about it.
And a third party saw it and thought I was a sales coach, and their industry had taken a 65% hit last year.
Yeah.
They were looking at how do they help their sales reps. And that was the inspiration. That was the spark. That was the seed that created Crusaders Networking. When I started realizing that not everyone views networking like I do, not everyone knows that it is a skill with a great deal of value, not just to get to the sale, but to build that network so that when you're standing on that stage in 10 years accepting your trophy, you say, I did this because of you and you and you and you and you.
Right, 10,000 people that I know or whatever.
Exactly. Right. And that since it is a skill, it is learnable. And once you learn it and you have control over it, like you know how to react in this situation, what you're looking for, what you need to add, what you need to connect. And And once you learn it, it becomes, like I said, an art form where right. it looks effortless and people look at you and say, they're a natural networker. No, right. it's a skill they've perfected.
Right. Of course. It was not natural.
It's not natural.
I mean, you know, maybe you have more of a personality, you know, you're more outgoing than not and vice versa. Those can be learned too. And it just makes it easier for you. But it doesn't mean, look, if you're a natural athlete and you yeah. don't practice, you're not going to be good. It's just that if you have certain propensities, you may get to the pros or whatever. Yes. But if you don't and you practice so many hours, you'll still be pretty good, you know, if you just keep practicing, you know.
Yes. That's an excellent example. Yes. Yeah. Tom Brady practices.
The 10,000 hours. Yeah. He, by the way, he was like a 7th round pick out of Michigan.
Yes. Yes. I know. They're very proud. Michigan, I'm sure. U of M is very, very proud.
I'm sure they are. Yes, I'm sure they remind everyone.
The golden child. Nowadays. Yes.
Yeah. Those things happen, you know?
Yes. When he was on his suspension, he hung out with the U of M football team. So they were very excited by all of that.
I'm sure. Yeah. That's funny. That's funny. But yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for, you know, staying in touch with people. You had mentioned before about like digital networking now, right? Virtual networking. Yeah. And I think one of the things that people miss, and I'm sure this is one of the things you teach, is that they also have to create a digital strategy, right? To support the networking you're doing. So mm-hmm. you connect with people, but if you don't remind them that you're still out there and you don't see them on a regular basis and share information with them that might be helpful to their network, they might forget that I'm one of the 20 attorneys that they met in the last 3 months. And they're like, you know, who's that business attorney from New Jersey? And they just can't remember because they didn't hear from me. In my case, they hear from me Tuesdays and Fridays if they're on my mailing list. And I think that was one of the things early on that I was missing. Mm-hmm. I read a book early on called The Referral of a Lifetime. And it's one of those Ken Blanchard, you know, series books. It's a parable story, whatever. But it's all about building a keep in touch program. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a salesperson, it may be customers, but, you know, whatever. And a lot of people don't do that. They don't build the digital strategy, right, to bring, first of all, connect with people and bring people into their networking world. Yep. And also to continue to keep in touch. And I can't tell you how many times I get asked the question. I'm like, you know, I know I met somebody who does that and I can't for the life. And I remember seeing him for coffee.
Let's see.
And I can't for the life of me remember who it was because I never heard from him again. And he thinks because I'm in his Rolodex that I'm part of his network. You got to work your network, right?
Here's a word from our sponsors. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000, that's L-A-W to 21000 to learn how to get your own digital business card. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their affiliate link on our website to learn more and get connected with Fetch. Printify is the online service that simplifies and automates the process of sourcing and creating print-on-demand products branded with your company logo, product, or service. Printify is a better alternative to pre-purchasing and warehousing your merchandise for distribution or sale. Follow their link from our website to learn how to set up your own online store. And be sure to visit our online store and get yourself some podcast merch. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
Oh, I do talk about that beyond the business card, the real connections beyond the business card. It's not just about collecting contact information. It's about establishing a real connection.
Right.
And in the, I call it the digital world because a lot of people view virtual as artificial, where to me, this is just as real. The connection, you and I being able to talk to each other is no different than we were in the same room together. We just have different backdrops. So so I think some people get, they use that as a barrier to, I'm just waiting for things to go back to normal.
Yeah, that's not and they're never going to go back to normal. It's and you don't want them to a certain extent. You and I wouldn't have connected for this. No, exactly. No way.
My new business wouldn't exist. I wouldn't be getting the opportunities. I wouldn't have the network I do now if I had just been waiting. It's the opportunities. That's one of the four landscapes is raising your awareness and how to spot a variety of opportunities, not just one type. Because a lot of people get really focused on, I need that sale.
So I like that term that you use, landscapes. So you want to explain those to us?
Yeah. Yes. When I was in the process of trying to figure out how to teach someone how to network, I realized it's a very complicated, broad subject, just to say networking.
Yeah.
So I started with what we already know, which is farming. Everyone knows networking is a farming practice, and people often know hunting, but they know hunting from a standpoint of sales.
Yeah.
It's actually a little bit different from the standpoint of networking. So I leaned into the landscapes, the nature analogies, because it's easier to translate. No matter who you are in the world,
right?
Even if you were born in the middle of downtown Manhattan and never left, you know what farming is, you know what fishing is, you know what hunting is, you know what foraging is. And so it's easier to establish how this is a different technique that serves a different purpose and a different skill. So you have that farming, which is the nurturing of your existing and current relationships.
Right.
It's creating the that you're the go-to person. You want to become that resource well that your network comes to.
Right.
And they connect through you. So you are valuable to them because you bring them other value.
Yeah. Maybe you don't do it, but you can connect them with somebody who does. And you want to be the person that they go to first.
You're the superhero.
And that's what, that's increases your value to the people that you know.
And they'll bring people to you because of that. And they might bring you your future customers because you help them with a problem that wasn't in your wheelhouse, but you legitimately showed a sincere desire to help.
Yeah. As a lawyer, I get calls. They're not even just legal questions. I get the craziest calls. I'm like, I don't even say like, what the hell are you calling me for? I'm like, all right, well, I know somebody. I'll let me find somebody for you.
Exactly. And it's also a great sign of trust. They trust you. They trust your opinion. Yeah. And you and I both know the difference between a cold call and a warm referral is the first five steps.
Right.
You know, that cold call, you got to go through a boom, 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 boom. That warm referral starts here.
Well, of course, because there's trust that's being transferred.
Yes. Yes. So yes, a lot of people like to operate that way. They just don't realize that it's going to take a little bit of time, you know? And then the hunting landscape from a networking standpoint is actually more about, managing the frustrations that people will feel with the pace of the process, right? It's slower.
Right.
You're not going to make a sale the first time. It's a layering process, but time passes anyway. So how do you manage your frustrations with this isn't working? I went to that networking event and I met 17 people and nobody bought my stuff. It's not working.
Yeah. That's almost a ridiculous conclusion, right?
It is.
It's like I posted things three times on LinkedIn and nothing happened.
Yes.
Social media doesn't work. I'm like, exactly. But you have to do things beyond the meeting. The meeting's just that's the beginning point.
Yes. Or the sales manager that's like, how many sales did you make there? Well, then don't go back. I hear that a lot. So
all the time.
The hunting
get any business
learning
from it? Well, I mean,
don't waste your time. Don't go back.
Of course, you don't know who you're connecting with. Yeah,
exactly. So the hunting landscape is learning how you manage the frustration with the speed of the process by making a plan so you can measure your success.
Okay.
Right. So
you got farming and we got hunting.
Yep. Those are the first two.
Okay.
And then there is foraging. Foraging is something that is most actively used at those networking events. And it's where you go in without you might go in with a plan. Like I'm going to meet five people I've never met before, but you go in without an agenda.
No expectations.
I'm going to be just as excited by meeting a new person who wants to have coffee with me as by meeting somebody who says, where's the contract I need to sign right now?
Right.
So it's foraging. You are looking around for those opportunities. And by becoming aware of them, you might find that person who's going to get you to the next person.
And I think when you meet people at an event, you kind of get a feel for them. Like, do they get it? You know, they have a good vibe about them. This is somebody I want to connect with. I don't know what they do or they can help me or I can help, but I definitely want to meet with them. And some of those people just exude that, right? When you meet them in an event. Yeah.
It's or
even
energy.
Online. Yeah. The energy, right?
Yes. Energies connect. And so that's foraging. Foraging is being open. It's also about being confident enough to share who you are with others.
Right.
With, you know, and so that's usually where I teach how to do an effective self-introduction.
Okay.
You know, it's amazing to me how many great professionals forget their name and the name of their business.
Right. You're talking about like when they go around the circle and introduce yourself or one-on-one, both.
Yes. Okay. So usually around the circle.
Okay. Yeah. Like your elevator pitch kind of a thing. It's an overused word, but yeah, whatever.
Right. But they get comfortable and they're just like, hey, if you know anybody, let me know. I don't know who you are. What
right.
Do you do?
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's foraging. And then the fishing is dedicated to how do you connect with and meet those people who are going to take you to the bigger rooms? These are not your customers. These are not your clients. These are the people who are going to mentor you, bring you up, bring you along, introduce you to the bigger rooms. You're the bait.
Bigger circles.
The bigger circles. So you need an element from each one of these landscapes for that balanced networking success. So over time, your farm is growing, you're meeting new people, you're managing your frustration, and you're being introduced to those bigger areas.
Right.
That will grow your business and make you more valuable to your farm as you bring in new people and you can measure the pace of what's happening. So you know it's working. So you double down and you keep working harder.
Right. And you always have people coming through your world, your meeting, connecting them. They're connecting you. They're thinking of you.
Yep.
You
become that internal source.
Becomes an engine after a while, a machine that is doing things for you. And then the business does come. I mean, you know, I meet people all kinds of ways, but certainly for the podcast is one of them. That's how we were connected. And then you think of somebody and somebody else, hey, you want to come on here or talk to this person? Would this be good? And then I think of you and, you know, it's definitely a momentum, right? A process.
Yes. And there's comfort in it too, because then as you build your network, you know who you can count on when your crisis happens.
Right. Right.
You know,
exactly.
So that's
and you need
really
your network
nice
and your people. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love the fact that once it's a sincerely established connection, even if you're not in each other's lives on a daily or weekly or monthly basis, they still reach out to you when they have that need, because they know that you will help them. You will do it sincerely and you have the solution.
Right.
So that's a measure of success. When, you know, this person is not a paying client and, you know,
they're thinking of you,
but 2 years later, I need this. Who do you know?
Right. Well, that has to do with keeping in touch. I mean, the people that you really know well, it's a different story, but
yes.
Other people in periphery, you got to keep in touch, make sure they know that you're still practicing law or whatever it is you do for a living, you know?
Exactly. But if you're kind of doing that, it does build. So if things do drift, things do space out.
Yeah.
And I also really enjoy the fact that when they change careers, they reach out to me.
Yeah.
You know, so because I and any good networker refer people, not professions.
Right.
You know, this person, I met this man as a credit card processor. Now he's doing mortgages. I know he's going to do a good job, even though it's a different industry.
Right.
One time I was referring a mortgage person and, I was asked, well, what company do they work for? And honest to God, Mitch, I could
not
remember.
I don't know.
I could not remember.
I bet you I have a dozen mortgage people I know. I don't know what company they work for.
Exactly.
They might have changed them. It doesn't matter.
Exactly. So my response was, you know what? I refer people, not companies.
Right.
And I thought, good cover. Right. Good cover for I can't
Right, exactly.
Remember.
Well, does it matter? It might matter in certain industries, but a lot of industries, it doesn't
right.
Really
exactly.
Matter.
They're not independent, but they have to fill their own pipeline. They have to generate their own leads. So, doesn't matter which company they're using. It's the hustle inside them.
Of course. Plus the person matters a lot. It could be the perfect company you're looking for. It's a crappy person. You're not going to have a good experience. It's not going to go well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. So let's go back. Let's say somebody is, in a job, right? And there's like, I can't do this, or they get downsized or let off, right? Mm-hmm. And they've never done this before. So what advice would you give them to get started when they don't even think they have a network. They don't know what networking is.
Right, right. Actually, that's a really good one. I just spoke to someone this week. He got, what did I call it? Displaced.
Yeah, displaced
by COVID. He got displaced by COVID. Right. He has 30 years experience in the telecom industry. He himself reached out to a branding company that helped him with a website and suggested that he start growing his network on LinkedIn. And he is at like 500 connections because he just started.
Right.
But he doesn't know what to do now. So we are connected through a third party. So he has seen my stuff. And so what did we talk about first? First thing I talked about was I wanted to know him. Well, what is your experience? What are you looking for? What is your passion? How do you bring things to that? Because part of that farming aspect is it's a mutual interview.
Right.
People don't realize it, but the person you're talking to is mentally taking notes on who do they know that needs to know you? Right. How do you do business? Do I want to attach my name to yours?
Right. You got to build a feeling from that trust.
Right. Right. So that's usually the first thing I do when I meet new people is I actually, let's talk about you. Let's learn about you, what your passions, your how you do business. What are you looking for? And oftentimes they're connected and they never even realized it. It's something, it's a light switch that a lot of people haven't turned on that because we get really used to defining people by how we know them.
Right. You don't think of the people that way.
Right. Right. Because I mentioned that our mutual connection works in his industry. Have you talked to them about you're looking for new work? Oh, I never crossed my mind.
Yeah. See, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So we talked about introducing him to a few people I know in those industries who are natural networkers as well, who might be able to, at least give him advice, guide him on. We talked about his digital presence, how you're doing it right. You know, you're taking the time to connect with people because he's looking for work. So, and I understand there's a different sense of urgency to that. But my number one advice to him, and actually my advice to most people, is when you do connect with these new people, make it about them.
Of course.
Yes.
That's always a mistake.
Right. And it's a common
Don't meet somebody and vomit all over them with words.
Exactly. I actually used those exact words.
Yeah, I mean, people just you ever meet somebody and you leave and you're just like, I didn't even say anything.
Yes.
They don't even know what I do.
Yes.
You know, I want to make a point, though. I think it was funny what you said, because obviously, you know, we're in the networking world and it's all perspective. So you said he goes on LinkedIn. He's only got 500 connections.
Right.
Feels like he doesn't know anybody. And it's pretty funny because I find people get started and they don't think they know anybody. And I think that if you really sit down and you say, listen, without even saying what the person does, you don't care what they do. They know who you are.
Yeah.
And a little bit about what you do, or a lot about what, and you make a list. You probably could come up with at least 250 people if you have no network. You're just signing up for LinkedIn.
Yes.
And they each know about 200 some odd people. So, you know, and it builds from there. And I don't think people, they don't give themselves enough credit for the life experience they have and the people that they've met all over the years that they can connect with, you know?
It's exploring the spider web.
Yeah, which grows very quickly through social media when you see people out there who you probably couldn't connect with before because they moved away.
Yes.
They went to high school with you. Now they're in Texas and you look them up. You're like, oh, wow, they know.
Yes.
You know, and that it's a different world. That's why it's important to be on the digital platforms as well.
I encourage people to look at each connection as a doorway to a new network.
Yeah, it's another circle.
Yes. So don't view them as, okay, this was a customer, or, you know, this was my neighbor Bob, or whatever the case may be.
It's like, who does Bob know?
Who does Bob know?
Yeah.
Yes. That's actually a question. There's two questions I always ask anytime I do a little, you know, get to know you. Mm-hmm. One is, how can I help you?
Right.
And
a lot of people don't ask that question. It's a good question.
Thank you. And if they don't know how you can help them because they don't know you well enough to know your network, change the question to, what do you need right now?
Right.
That's and they always question. Know what they need.
Yeah. Yes. Good question.
And the other question I always ask is, who do you know that I should know? Because now I just got an introduction to someone else. And oftentimes it's a similar energy. You reminded me of so-and-so.
Right.
So I've grown my connection and I've learned more about that person.
Yeah.
And, Those two are very easy questions, should always be included in any first conversation. When you network and connect with somebody new, the point is to not dump everything on them all at once.
Right.
It's to get to what I call the first professional first date.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I always find that you go to a networking event, you're not trying to like build relationships at the event. You want to get their name, meet them, know a little bit about them, and follow up. And then
follow up.
It's the one-on-one where the work starts happening, you know, to build your relationships. It's funny. I think early on I realized with LinkedIn, because when I first started, I was like, what the hell am I going to do with this? Like, I think for 6 years, I was a member of LinkedIn, didn't know what to do with it.
Me too.
And one day I used to deal with a lot of doctors. And one day I get a LinkedIn request from this doctor, and I'm like, doctors on LinkedIn. And then I connected with him. And then I realized, oh my God, I'm connected now with all the doctors that he knows. And every time I would post something or put something out there, whatever, they would see that. And yeah, I mean, that's a lot of people don't realize you're building concentric circles.
Yes.
And they overlap in more ways than you can possibly imagine.
Absolutely. And the seed planting. You don't know when it's going to grow, but you're going to plant the seed.
Right. Yes. You don't know when they're going to need you, what's going to happen.
Yes.
But that has a lot to do with keeping in touch and educating the people that need you as a resource. Because, you know, I remember early on, I was helping out a client of mine, a friend. I hadn't talked to him in a long time. He had a franchise business, several locations, and they got into trouble. So he calls me up one day and he said, you know, I need help with this. This is the problem we're having. And I was thinking, who's the smartest person I know?
Right.
And I go, okay, who is that? He's like, it's you, dummy. That's why I'm calling you. I'm like, oh, okay. So what's the problem? So we figured it out. And then at the end of the process, so I do a lot of small business work and I do estates and trusts, right? Mm-hmm. So at the end of the process, he calls me, says, listen, now that I'm getting back on my feet, and he ended up starting another business, and then we worked it out and we had to bankrupt some of the stuff and whatever. He said, I need to do my estate plan. Can you refer me to a good estate planning attorney? And I was like, oh, silent. And I'm like, that's a joke, right? And he's like, no, what do you mean? I said, well, I am an estate planning attorney. He's like, you are? So that was my fault, though.
Yes.
For not communicating with him or whoever. So then I was thinking to myself, holy shit, like how many people in my network don't know the things that I do? And that's when I started getting back in touch with people and communicating. I find that if you have a network and you haven't reached out in a while, send them an apology letter. You know, I've been remiss in keeping in touch.
Yes.
It won't happen again. This is what we're doing in the future. If you need anything, here's where we are. Please share your information with me, update me, whatever. And people are like, wow, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And it's a good way to, you know, reopen the doors, so to speak.
Exactly. And another reason for those two questions is it creates a to-do list for you and a reason to reconnect with them.
Right.
Hey, how did that go? Hey, thank you for that. The introduction to so-and-so was amazing. Like you, I'm going to follow up with Lisa. Thank you so much for introducing me to Mitch. That was amazing.
It's a reason to call her now.
It's a reason to reconnect with her.
Right.
Yes. And while you're helping others, you're also building in reasons for you to make those connections. So it doesn't feel like I'm spamming you, because there's a lot of people out there that don't do it right.
No,
like
they don't.
You were sending me stuff.
Like you said, it's just a numbers game to them. They just throw it out there. And it turns people off.
It does. It does, especially with so much moving into the digital world. So much has moved into the digital world, including the bad habits.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to send you a connection request. When you accept it, I'm going to follow up with an email with my sales pitch
and a link
to my calendar so we can talk about it and la, la, la. So that's something else that I talk about with my clients as well, is the difference between in-person networking and digital networking.
Right.
And there's a couple extra steps that you got to take in the digital world, because basically you need permission.
Right.
Or you need to ask permission. You don't want to be that person who basically knocked on their door and then sat down on their couch.
Right. With a pile of encyclopedias, and they're trying to tell them you should buy these.
Right. Right. It's like, hey, great.
Well, you have no rapport at that point, really. It was just a connection. It was just, I accepted his connection because I saw that he knew you.
Yes.
I'm like, well, I like Wendy and she's smart. So if they're connected and she's a great person, I'll connect with him. And then I start getting these pitches and you're like, well, and I also find like there's a lot of people I'm connected with I don't know.
That happens all the time. Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, you want to kind of follow up on that. But I think, you want to be, it's much softer approach when it comes to, you know, building a network and being a network, good networker.
It's layers.
You know, but I know people that have gone from job to job and have never submitted a resume, you know, cold through a job ad or something. It's all networking.
Never. I actually heard that fact recently that like 63% of people will find their next job through networking with a person they have not met yet.
See, there you go. So you got to network.
I learned that from a job placement professional. That's what she does. She works with the corporations that are displacing a certain number of their employees for whatever reason, and they offer to help them find new employment. So that's her business, is helping them find new employment. And I was like, that is an amazing networking statistic.
Yeah. Well, that means you have less than a 50% chance of finding a job if you don't network.
If you don't network. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Or it's a harder job. Right. Yes. Yes. Right. You are doing the job boards. You are competing against a computer looking for keywords before BS. You talk to a human being.
I know. It's all, so, and they get thousands of resumes. There's no reason why you would float to the top. And it's like, you know, buying a lottery ticket.
Yes.
You have to, even if you did apply through a job board, you still should network your way. You still should look for who do you know at the company you can connect with who might be able to get you noticed more than the other person. You don't leave things to chance.
Yes. Yes. And back to the not knowing your own network.
Yeah.
I mentioned somebody at a telecom company that I just recently connected with, but I mentioned the company, and my client was like, oh, I know so-and-so. He knows like the director of something. I know a sales level person. Why are you not talking to this person? Why right. didn't, you know, so it is funny how people get comfortable in the selling, in the marketing, and they forget that value that comes from networking independently.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of the selling and the marketing.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I mean, that's actually kind of one of my favorite things is, connecting with new people with no idea how or where they're going to be of value to me.
Right. Yeah. Cause you don't know what their journey is or where they are now, where they're going to end up or what's
exactly,
you know, what position who they were,
who they're
going to
become.
In. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, could be a ground floor opportunity.
You don't know, you know, someday you need help with a loan or you have a client who's got trouble and your friend's now the president of the bank. I mean,
yes.
Somebody yes. becomes the president of the bank. Somebody
does.
Exactly.
I love that.
That's the fun part of networking. You know, when you have a network that's big and you know a lot of people, and that's why you keep putting things out there and staying in touch. And the craziest or most unexpected things happen. And it's not by accident. And I'm not saying it happens, you know, it's like a fluke or it's just luck.
Right.
You make luck by regularly building your network and building connections, building relationships, right? Because I mean, it's just what happens. People that I know are lucky. They're not lucky because they're just walking down the street and things hit them in the head. They're lucky because they're out there and they're participating in the process of life, really.
Yeah.
Now, I always say, if you want to get hit, you got to play in traffic. So
I used to say that. I was a big racquetball player and I'd always have bruises from getting hit by the ball. And I'm like, yeah, you only get hit if you're in the game.
Yeah. You're running in there and you're playing. You stand in the corner. You're going to lose, first of all, and you certainly won't get hit.
No,
but that's, you know, and look, there are people that want to be safe in life and that, you know, whatever, but most people or a lot of people don't get a lot of fulfillment from, you know, never taking any risks or not achieving, you know, we're all from little driven to achieve in school and, you know, whatever. So
that's the entrepreneur spirit. That's what sets
growing.
Us apart.
Yeah. It's all over the place. So,
yeah.
Well, excuse me, Wendy, I appreciate you taking the time on what is a weird Friday morning, because we had a storm and now it's sunny out here. I think it's passed. But and I also wanted to mention, where's your bio? You had said that you will be offering a free gift.
Yes.
To our listeners, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I
have a collaboration partner who specializes in personality styles, and she communicates them through birds.
Okay.
And as we mentioned, I communicate networking styles through landscapes. So we decided to do a collaboration between the two of us called the Networking and Communications Landscapes.
Okay.
And we have what we call the Atlas, which is that giant map overview. Mm-hmm. It's just an introduction to the concepts of the four landscapes and the five communication birds. And it's a 1-hour introduction. And I wanted to offer that as a free gift to your listeners. So if they wanted to learn more about, well, what is that fishing thing again? How is networking hunting different than, you know, sales hunting? I often talk in the birds, like foraging is a peacock personality. Okay. So they want to learn more. They can learn more as my guest. And we're offering a discount code and it's accidental21.
Okay. And we'll put that in the, show notes.
Yes.
Of the, the video and the audio. So
it's an introduction so they can learn more and just raise their own awareness and, focus on the skill of networking as a standalone.
All right. Super. Well, Wendy, I thank you for coming on. I thank Lisa for introducing us. Enjoy the rest of the summer and let's definitely stay in touch.
Excellent. Thank you, Mitch. I appreciate the time and the invitation to be here. It was a great experience.
Awesome.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.